November the 27th, Dr. Binkley speaking.
In nothing be anxious, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Let us pray. Eternal God, who art the ultimate source of every good and perfect gift, we thank thee for thy truth, thy righteousness, and thy love. We humbly ask thee to sanctify all of our thoughts and endeavors, that we may neither begin an action without a pure intention, nor continue it without thy guidance and blessing. We commit to thy care all who are dear to us, including those who participate in the life and work of this school and of the whole church of the living God. Enable us, we pray, to think clearly, to speak honestly, and to live creatively until we have completed the task which thou hast committed to our hands through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. These are exceptionally difficult to translate. They illuminate our minds at teachable moments, comfort our hearts in days of sorrow, and create within us a mood of thanksgiving. Their essential message places high value upon kindness and truthfulness, and focuses attention upon fundamental questions. Within the past few days, I have discovered that there are more than 100 question marks in the book of Psalms. And as we reflect upon the words preceding the question marks, we are confronted with issues at the heart of ethical and theological inquiry. What is the truth about the nature and the destiny of man? What is the right relation between a man and his neighbors? What is the character of God as revealed in his creative and redemptive action? A part of the answer is that God is righteous and powerful, that he really cares for his children, and that his redemptive love is disclosed especially in the forgiveness of sin and in the healing of diseases. Psalm 116, a part of which we have just read, records the deep gratitude of an individual who had recovered from a critical illness that had brought him close to death. In the spirit of joy and sincere thanksgiving, he asked himself, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" This is an appropriate question for us at this Thanksgiving season. Let us reflect for a moment upon God's bounty to us. First of all, the energies of our lives are renewed by what we call the natural resources which God has created. The good earth, the fertility of the soil, the rain, the sun, the air, the harvest. These blessings are a part of what an economist might call the unearned increment upon which we depend. They have been made available to us by the gracious hand of the living God, and we could not live 1 hour without them. In the second place, we have received from the God of all grace the gift of eternal life. It is important for us to remember that there is a dynamic relation, inadequately understood, between sin and death. I think it is more important for us to understand that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We do not earn eternal life. We inherit it. We receive it. We enter into it. It is a pure gift of God. When we ask what we most deeply desire for ourselves, sooner or later, we come to the conclusion that we desire the quality of life that we call eternal. When we ask ourselves, in those moments in which our minds are most open to the truth, what we desire for the people to whom we minister, including our own children, We come at last to the answer we want them to have: eternal life. It is the gift of God. A third aspect of God's bounty toward us is that He has admitted us to the fellowship of His people. We have taken our places, humbly and gratefully, I trust, with the people of God. We have been nurtured by persons who lived by faith. And as we remember them one by one, we are able to say, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you. We thank God from the bottom of our hearts for fellowship with persons who make it easier for us to believe in God. One of the seminal thinkers of the modern world has said that a Christian saint is a person who enables other persons to believe in God. This must be a very high ministry. But you and I know people who have helped us by the quality of their lives to put our trust in God. Mary Reed, a missionary in India, who lived among lepers and was herself a leper, told a friend that at night, when she was alone in her little cottage, she used to sing hymns of thanks to God. She added, if I did not sing songs of faith and of thanksgiving in the night, I'd never have strength for the tasks of the day. We live and move and have our being, do we not, in the midst of the people of God. I remember a student who had responsibility for 3 hours of Hebrew each morning, and for work at the Dorothy Dix Hospital in Raleigh from 3 o'clock to 11 o'clock each night. And just before that work assignment and just after it, brief opportunities for study. It was an almost impossible task. I remember that he said one day, I shaved 19 men yesterday, and I had a chance to listen to them and to talk with them. As I went through this process, and I discerned that he saw in this needful work of the world an opportunity to minister to the people of God. What shall we render unto the Lord for all his bounty to us? We may not be able to answer this question adequately at this moment, but each one of us can begin where the person who wrote the 116th Psalm began, and each one of us can say, I love the Lord. I will call upon his name as long as I live. O Lord, I am thy servant. This is one way to celebrate Thanksgiving. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.